I want to bring to you this morning a message that the Lord hath laid in my heart and blessed my own soul with from the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. We will, of course, be continuing our expositions in the Epistle to the Romans, but we want to have a look at some very precious verses that are found in the 49th chapter of Genesis. God has specially blessed and watered and refreshed my own soul with these verses the other day. And I was going to expound Romans this morning, but somehow or other I couldn't get away from this portion of Scripture. It's Genesis 49. The blessing of Jacob upon his sons before he passed over to be with God. And it's the portion concerning Joseph, verses 22 to verses 20 to verse 26. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hit at him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And God shall stamp with his own divine approval this reading from the infallible book for his name's sake. Amen. Joseph is a most interesting scriptural character. The word Joseph means adding. And when he was born, his mother, who had been barren, she had, of course, vision that God would also give to her another son, which he eventually did in the birth of Benjamin. And Joseph was given his name because she had faith that God would add yet to her family. So the name Joseph means adding. You know, there's something interesting when you really study the Word of God. For when you really study God's Word, you find that the whole book of God has a blessed unity. Now, if you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 5, you have there a little sum of addition, or something that we should add. And you know, this text of Scripture, in a very wonderful way, gives us a biography of Joseph. If you look at verse 5 of 2 Peter, it says, beside this, giving all diligence, add, and remember Joseph means addition, add to your faith virtue. That's exactly what Joseph did, didn't he? He had faith, first of all. Then you remember Potiphar's wife tempted him. But he had added to his faith virtue. And he refused to capitulate to the temptation and suggestion of Potiphar's wife. Then he was put into prison. And when he was in prison, he added to his virtue knowledge. And you will remember that when the butler and the baker had dreams, Joseph had the knowledge to interpret those dreams. But of course, the butler didn't go back to the palace and say, there's a wonderful man in prison and we should get him out of prison. He forgot all about Joseph. But down in prison, Joseph added to his knowledge temperance, and to his temperance patience. He was patient. And while he was in prison, we read, according to the Psalms, the iron went into his soul. But he added to his temperance patience. And then you will remember that when he came out of prison, the testimony of the king of Egypt was this: is there such a person in whom the Spirit of God is? So he had added to his patience godliness. And then you will remember that when his brethren came down, instead of being harsh to them, he added to his godliness brotherly charity. So you have a wonderful biography or life story of Joseph in those few verses, because Joseph means addition. And you can sum up his whole life in those great characteristics that are in that verse. Sometime you can study that out for yourself and just see how interestingly they all fit in. But I want to have another look at Joseph from these verses in the 49th chapter of Genesis. And there are five things about Joseph here. And you know, the interesting thing in Scripture is this, that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. That's the way the Lord wrote the Bible. And you have to get to the end in order to find out how it all began. And if you want to know how it all began, you go to the last part of verse 26. And you find these words: him that was separate from his brethren. So the first thing about Joseph is this: he is distinguished by separation. We live in a day, of course, when the doctrine of separation is not liked. People don't like. I had an elder, Presbyterian elder, at those meetings in Cape May, and he came to me and he said, you know, I'm just going to stay in the church. He said, I think I can do some good. I said, God says, get out. That's what God said. And if you want blessing, my friend, you need to be like Joseph. You need to be separate from your brother. You need to take the position of separation. There was no one more misunderstood than Joseph. And his brethren, we read, hated him. Why? Because God gave him peculiar and special gifts. And when God raises up a person and gives them peculiar and special gifts to carry on the work, there will always be those to slander and to criticize and to oppose. But here was Joseph. He was separate from his brethren. He was distinguished by separation. Let this be the distinguishing nature and character of each one of us. Let us as a church be a separatist church. Let us as a people be a separatist people. Let us as a fellowship be a separatist fellowship. And this separation goes down the line. It's not only separation from apostasy, and that's good, but we have to be separate from worldliness and from sin and from this present evil world system. And you know, if we're that, God will bless us abundantly. My God blesses the person that walks the path of separation, him that was separate from his brethren. So he was distinguished by separation. Now go back to verse 22, and you will discover he was described by fruition. Yes, Joseph is a fruitful bough. That's how he was described. You know what? You're back in Psalm 1 here, aren't you? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He is a tree planted by rivers of water. You're actually back here in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Now, I want you to notice three things about Joseph as a bough. First of all, he's a fruitful bough. He's not a barren bough. You know, if you turn over to John 15, you will read there that Christ says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And then the Lord goes on, and he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there are barren branches. But Joseph wasn't a barren branch. He was a fruitful branch. He's described by fruition. He was bearing fruit. And it's the will of God that we should all bear fruit. That we should be fruit-bearing Christians. That we shouldn't be barren. You know, some Christians you meet and they're absolutely barren. Mr. Nicholson used to describe Christians as old dried up warts. And that's what some Christians are like. They're dried up. There's nothing in them. There's no sap in them. There's no joy in them. And my, when you meet them, they're just miserable, and they'd like to make you miserable. Meet you and they say, did you hear about that? Did you? And my, they're so miserable. But that's not the way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be fruitful bugs. Now, you can't be a fruitful bough, my friend, except you are living in Christ. You know, the bough is in the center of the tree. It's right in there. It wasn't just put in there. It grew in there. It's part of the tree. And you know, when I'm in Christ, I'll be fruitful. But I want you to notice the second thing about Joseph was this, that the bough is by a well. There is a constant supply to keep the bough fresh. That's why Christians are not fresh. They're not living by the well. Remember old David? He got thirsty one day. And he remembered when he was a boy that there was a well by the gate of Bethlehem. And many a time as a thirsty lad he had gone to that well and he had taken up the stone crock and lowered it down and drunk of the refreshing waters. And when David was an older man, he said, oh, for a drink from the water of the well at Bethlehem. My friend, that's what every Christian should be saying every day. Oh, for a drink of the water by the well of Bethlehem. And you know, there was three men said, David, we'll get you this water. And they fought their way right to the well. And they brought David the water. And David was so honored by their act that he poured it out before the Lord. If you want to be fruitful, you've got to live by the well. You can't be a fruitful Christian if this book is a neglected book. If you're not always digging in the Word of God, you'll not be fruitful. But thank God for the wells of salvation. It's great to come in the morning, isn't it? And to have a real refreshing draught from the Bible. To go out with some sweet promise in your heart. By every morning I start in the book of Psalms. David was a Presbyterian, you know, and he loved the Psalms. And my, I'm telling you, those Psalms are some great words in those Psalms. And it used to be said that people were brought up on porridge, prayer, and the book of Psalms. And if the modern generation had been brought up that way, there'd be a great difference in their life. Those great promises. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. And the well, thank God, never dries up. There's always water in the well. And if you're thirsty this morning, come to the well. Then I want you to notice something else. Whose branches run over the wall. You see, here is the tree, and it's planted by the well. But the tree is hemmed in by a wall. Every one of us are hemmed in by various walls. There's the wall of circumstances. It's all around us. And we wonder how on earth we're going to get beyond these circumstances. But praise God, Joseph, although he was surrounded by the wall of circumstances, his branches ran over the wall. What does that mean? That means, my friend, that God will bless you no matter how you're hemmed in. No matter what difficulties you have. You're saying to me, preacher, I'm in my home. And I'm a mother with all the responsibilities of the home. And preacher, the home walls are all around me and I feel so hemmed in. I feel that I can never reach anybody outside. I'm just circumscribed and tied in with this wall. Praise God, mother, the branches can run over the wall. Maybe you're saying, preacher, I'm in business. And I'm at it every day in the week. And it's hard going. And so it is in business these days. And you say the walls of my business, preacher, are all around me. They may be, but praise God, if you're a Joseph, the branches will run over the wall. You'll get the victory, no matter what it is. You know, not only was there the branches of circumstance, or the walls of circumstances hemming Joseph in, but there were the walls of opposition. Well, that's what the General Assembly has done in us, haven't they? They've built walls all around. They say we'll keep Paisley in. Did that for 90 days, didn't they? But thank God our branches ran over the wall, didn't they? And we wrote to you folks messages and they were read and your souls were blessed. And they've been read all around the world, those prison messages. And this commentary on Romans will be read all around the world. Why? Because our branches are running over the wall. That's why. And here we have this opportunity now as a church to let our message go around the world. My, the old devil said, we'll shut these Presbyterians, pre-Presbyterians' mouths. We'll hem them in. The old Belfast Telegraph said, they'll never get the Ulster Hall to worship in. We'll raise £5,000 and put it into the hand of Sir Cecil McKee and he'll go to the council and say, don't let those free Presbyterians in. But our branches are running over the wall. And my, you just go up the Ravenhill Road and see how big that branch is that's run over the wall. Yes, the Lord, my friend, wants us to run over the wall. To reach out. Let's not be parochial. Let the prayers of this church reach over the wall to those men in the Cameroons this morning that are our brethren in Christ. Let our prayers run over the wall to them this morning. Thank God the missionary gifts of this church run over the wall. This is what God wants to do for us. Joseph is described by fruition. And then I want you to notice, look at verse 23. Joseph is developed by opposition.
Yeah.
The only way to get strong muscles in your arms is to have to fight. See, if you just sit down and there's no fight, you'll become flabby and fat. But my, if you have to battle and wrestle and struggle and have a conflict, it'll develop you. Nothing develops a man like the conflict. What does it say? The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hit at him. Notice the threefold thing that runs through this. Joseph is a fruitful bough. He's by the well. His branches run over the wall. But then, the archers grieved him. But you can put opposite the grieving, fruitfulness. And when our enemies try to grieve us, thank God, God gives us fruitfulness. And that makes up for it, doesn't it? No matter how much you may be grieved by the enemy, my, when you go out and bear fruit for the Lord, the burden's lifted and you're rejoicing. So the enemy's going to grieve us. The archers drew their arrows and fired their barbed darts. And God knows every one of us have felt the awful pain of the barbed darts of opposition. And we're going to feel it more and more as the day closes. And this age climaxes in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our enemies are going to grieve us. And then it says, they not only grieved him, they shot at him. They made Joseph the object of their enmity. And the apostasy has made this church the object of its enmity. Yes, and men that once were with us and went out from us because they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they most certainly would have remained with us. And these men that once were with us, but weren't of us and have gone out far from us, why, they shoot at us today. The barbed arrows of their criticism, calumnies. But praise God, when the enemy shoots at you, you're a bough by a well. You don't need to get downhearted. Down in the dumps, I'll never stay. For that's where the devil has his sway. So I'll sing with all my might, and I'll keep my armor bright, and down in the dumps I'll never stay. Don't you sing, down in the dumps I'll never go, for you will go down into the dumps. Every one of us go down into the dumps. And not a man or woman here. If you stood up and said to me, preacher, I'm never in the dumps, I'd say you're a liar. Every one of us have been in the dumps. Every one of us. We have been down. But we're not going to stay there. The devil might knock us down, but bless God, we're going to get onto our feet again. We're going to get onto our feet. And then you'll notice that not, they not only shot at him, but they hated him. And if there's anything the devil hates, it's Josephs in the church. Fruit-bearing Christians, the devil hates them. The devil hates a fruit-bearing church. He doesn't want this church to prosper and to bear fruit. And so we're hated. So we'll notice that Joseph was distinguished by separation, described by fruition, developed by opposition. And then notice this, he was delivered by revelation. He was delivered by revelation. God gave him a revelation of the mighty God of Jacob. Isn't that wonderful? The mighty God of Jacob. Did you ever think of that term? The mighty God of Jacob. You know who Jacob was? He was a twister. He was a cunning, crafty rascal. But God loved him. And God changed him. And God transformed him. And one day God took the twist out of him. And he made him a prince with God. The mighty God of Jacob. It takes a mighty God to do that. And all of us know what we were. That we were just a bunch of twisters going down to hell as fast as we could go. You know why you're in this meeting this morning, brother? Because God did it. You wouldn't have been here if you had tried to get here under your own steam. You'd been away down in the darkness. If the grace of God had not prevented us, friend, we would have been in hell this morning. But praise God for the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God of Jacob. And if you're in trouble this morning, the mighty God of Jacob is able to meet your need. If you have got a burden you cannot bear alone, the mighty God of Jacob can lift your burden. If you have got a sorrow that's breaking your heart, the mighty God of Jacob can lift your sorrow. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. The mighty God of Jacob, he was delivered by revelation. And God revealed to him two things about the mighty God of Jacob. First of all, that he's the shepherd. That good? The Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? In the eastern country, the shepherd goes before. And thank God, my friend, will be delivered by the revelation of the good shepherd who goes before. Do you see the path that you're walking this week? Jesus Christ has gone before. He knows all about it. He knows what troubles and affliction and temptations you've got to endure. He's the shepherd. But he's not only the shepherd, but praise God, he's the stone. He's the rock of Israel. So the Lord not only leads me, but the Lord defends me. And the arm, look at it. It says, his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. And thank God our bow can abide in strength. There is no need for us to weaken in the conflict. Praise God our bow can abide in strength. And then last of all, Joseph was dedicated. And he was dedicated by a mighty coronation. Look at this. On the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. What was on his head? The blessings. And there are five of them here. And I want you to look at these great blessings that are here. First of all, there's the blessing of heaven above. That's good, isn't it? That would just be enough for you, wouldn't it? Just to have the blessings of heaven above, that would be enough. But friend, you have five blessings because five is the number of grace. And our heads, praise God, are crowned with grace. So we have the blessings of heaven above. That would be enough to go on with, wouldn't it? But that's not at all. Then he gives us the blessings of the deep that lieth under. My friend, let me tell you this, that there are blessings in the depths of sorrow and temptation that you'll never get any other way. When God causes us to go through deep waters, there are blessings reserved for the people of God in those deep waters that you'll never find anywhere else. And I have found that in my own personal experience. And when I was shut in that prison cell 2 years ago, I learned things about the Lord I could never have learned any other way. There's the blessings of heaven above, there's the blessings of the deep, and then there's the blessings of the brass, which speak to us of the blessing of continual sustenance, that God supplies our need. And I'm glad of that. There's a continual supply from God. And there's the blessings of the womb which speak to us of births. And my, there's no blessing like seeing people been born again. And that dear Roman Catholic girl walked up the aisle of that hall, Reformation Hall, and the Christian Admiral said to me, I've got to come to Christ and be saved. Why, you couldn't get a blessing like that? That would do you good. She said, I'm a Roman Catholic, but I want to be saved. And my, as we kneeled down together and that young woman cried to God to save her. My, what a blessing comes into your soul. That's the soul winner's blessing. And then notice, it's the blessings of thy Father. You know, we're in the family of God this morning. And all the blessings that the early church had and the church leaders had, thank God we can have them. The blessings that the martyrs had, we can have them. For he says that these blessings are above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hill. You couldn't get blessings any better than that. But they stretch as far as the eye can see. Count your blessings. Name them two by two. Count your blessings. Name them four by four. Count your blessings. Name them score by score. And it will surprise you, there are millions more. Praise God for these blessings. May the Lord help us to have another look at Joseph. See that he was distinguished by separation, described by fruition, developed by opposition, delivered by revelation, and dedicated by coronation. He was crowned with a fivefold blessing, and may the Lord give you this blessing, the blessing of God for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this look that we have had at Joseph today. We thank Thee that Joseph is a type of the believer, and we have to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly charity. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts. We thank Thee for the blessings that God has given to us. We thank Thee for opening these great doors across the world, that the message of this church might be a worldwide message going out to the ends of the earth. Send us all the money we need for this new church. Send us all the money we need for the radio broadcast. And oh God, help us to be a fruitful bough by the well, whose branches run over the wall, for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen, and shouted, Hallelujah. Amen.